Hello, y'all, and welcome to another episode of Christian Girls Pop. Super excited for this bonus episode, y'all. The guest speaker for today, we are about to have an amazing time of testimonies, of laughs, I'm sure, and just being real with you all. So today, I have a very special guest speaker. Her name is Kirby Kelly. If you know her on the gram, she's known as Kirby is a Boss, and that she is definitely a boss and a boss for the kingdom. So let me tell y'all a little bit about Kirby, and then we'll get right to this interview. So she is a 27-year-old speaker, author, scholar. She's a wife, and she does so much Christian content, and she's been doing that for years. Since she was in high school, she's just been a steadfast believer, and she has been shaping the world through her ministry on social media. When she fully committed her life to Christ at age 14, she has been going nonstop since then. And we're really excited to hear about her testimony because she's going to share about a lot of really difficult topics that maybe you are also struggling with and you're wanting to know how to get help, how to get free. She will be sharing some of her testimony regarding depression, anxiety, suicidal thoughts, facing bullies, overcoming shame and habitual sin. And now she's sharing of how she has come into full freedom and redeemed joy. Y'all, it's about to get juicy. I'm excited. Kirby, thanks so much for having, or thanks so much for being here on this episode.
Absolutely. Thanks for having me. I'm so happy that we get to connect and we get to talk about everything that we're going to talk about.
All the things, all the things. It's gonna be really good. So I know we went through like a super professional bio. Okay, but like let the girlies know, what's like a super random fun fact about yourself?
Yeah, a random fun fact about me. I was trying to think of one. I'm like, which one that's really interesting? And one is that I met my husband through TikTok. So he was living in Canada. I was living in Texas. He commented on one of my just like kind of like Christian meme-esque videos on TikTok. And I was like, who is this man? And instantly I was like, oh my gosh, we're gonna fall in love. Like people always say, when you know, you know. I was like, that's the dumbest thing. And then I met my husband or like saw him and was chatting with him. And I was like, oh my gosh, I totally get what they mean now. And so yeah, we've been happily married for like 3.5 years and God is good.
We love that. That's such a random fact. Everybody's about to be on TikTok now. Just kidding.
For you
<You're>
page really said for you.
Yes, but hey, God writes everyone's story so differently. So I love that. And that's a super definitely a fun fact. So we have to talk about something really cool that you are releasing. And bam, 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 you have a book coming out. And y'all, listen to the title. The title alone like sets you free, okay? The title, You Can Be Free: Overcoming Temptation and Habitual Sin by the Power and Promises of the Gospel. Mic drop right there, right? It says everything that needs to be said right there in the title. And that title makes me want to buy all the copies out of every Barnes and Noble, out of every Amazon, because so many people need to hear that, right? Like they need to know that they can be free and walk in the freedom that Christ has died for and brought them into and wants them to live in. So congrats on your book release. And first, I just want
Thank
to
you.
ask, what led you to write this book and lead others to freedom?
Yeah, so I always knew, I say always, when I gave my life to Jesus, I was around 14 years old, and I knew I was called to influence and to impact the kingdom in whatever way that looked like. And I knew for me, one of the gifts that he's given me is communicating and communication. So whether it's talking to a camera or being on a stage in front of people and now writing books, I knew that I was going to somehow make my way, navigate my way into the book world. And so a few years ago, I really felt like the Lord put it on my heart that, hey, you need to start writing a book. And I was like, okay, God, like, I know, I feel like that's what you're calling me to do, but you're going to have to open every door because I don't know what I'm doing. I don't know how to navigate this world. And it was literally just like door after door after door opened with this of making this possible. And I knew I wanted it to be about freedom because that is something that I have so greatly experienced in my own life, in my testimony, in my relationship with the Lord. It was not just an instant moment, but truly a process. And as I began writing this book, I just felt like he kept putting it on my heart more and more and more to be more vulnerable, to be more transparent, to really lead with my story first and share the nitty-gritty stuff that I've never posted about on social media that I struggled with. And I think through that, it has also brought me a deeper sense of freedom. And I'm really just hoping that it will impact so many people, whether they're struggling with the same things I struggled with or completely different things. There's so many truths in this book because we're talking about the truth of scripture. There's a battle plan to really equip people to apply the truth of scripture and practical tactics and advice to getting free. And I'm just excited. I'm really excited to see people saved and set free in their relationship and their walk with the Lord, and hopefully in reading this book too.
Man, I love that because you gave them all the things, right? A book, you shared your story, but also having a battle plan and literally things that they can walk through. That's not something you can get with every book. And sometimes people are left with just knowing that they can relate to someone, but then it's like, okay, now what, right? Like, now I know that I'm not the only one. And there's power in that, right? You know, the secular even quote will say like there's safety in numbers, there's power in numbers. So there is something that's cool about knowing that you're not the only one that struggles with something, but then having someone to tell you, hey, you're not the only one that's ever struggled with this, but let me show you actually how to navigate this and how to get through that. That's such a game changer. And I know that the enemy's mad about that. Like, I know he's so upset because he's like, man, like they have strategies now. Like, this isn't just something that they're just gonna, you know, just, oh, whatever. Like, I just read this cool book and, you know, I'm gonna post it on social media and move on. Like, no, they know that, man, if I start applying this to my life, if I really take this seriously, I will be set free. And man, I love that. So I love the both of those, the book and the battle plan. That's really cool.
Thank you. And that's something I'm really passionate about in general with like anything I do in ministry is, okay, how do I actually take this and apply it to my life? Like what can I truly glean from this so that I can grow in my relationship with the Lord and deepen that intimacy with him? But also, how do I grow in the character and the conduct and who God has called and created me to be? Because like you hit the nail on the head where when I was growing up, especially with the sin that I struggled with, and I know we're going to get to that in a second. It was just like, I feel like most of the advice that I got was, well, if you just have more faith and you pray a little harder, then maybe God will answer your prayer and all the things will work out. And as much as that is, valid and that there is some truth to that of we need to submit those things to the Lord. And yeah, we do need to have faith. Number one, sometimes that's not how it ends up. Like sometimes the Lord also wants to equip us to be able to fight this war that we are in, this spiritual battle that we are in, to actually be equipped in moments of temptation, in moments of weakness, in moments of struggle and strife, to be able to practically navigate those seasons and not just dismiss it and sweep it under the rug. Like that's where I think a lot of church hurt happens, where a lot of deconstruction happens, where a lot of people are just questioning and doubting God's goodness happens. But I'm a practicals girly, and so I this was the stuff that I needed to know when I was in the thick of my sin struggle. It's what I ended up learning, and now there's a resource out there finally that really has something that anyone can apply to any area of sin and struggle and shame that they might be dealing with. So I'm glad that you recognize the importance of that because truly that's exactly what I needed growing up, and I didn't have it.
Yeah, no, same. And I think so many other people are in the same boat as well, to where they, you know, they're like Googling. Like, I know I was like, how do I get free? Like, where do I go? Wikipedia, like, could not help me out.
Literally.
And so I was like, okay, I guess I'm just gonna figure this out, or I would just shove it down and act like it wasn't a thing, and like I'm gonna act like it's not something I struggle with, and would just try to distract myself from the issue instead of addressing it. So yeah, no, I think that's great. Y'all are already listening. I want you to like pause this episode and like go pre-order the book, okay? Then you can replay and we can keep going. But y'all are already hearing the power of not just Kirby's testimony, but also all that is encompassing with this project, a book, a battle plan, being able to be encouraged, and then to do the dirty work, right? So for your book, you have a couple like key points of things that you really want to encourage the reader to do or to experience throughout the book and the battle plan. And so we're going to go through a couple of them because I thought, I mean, they're all
Yes.
really cool. So the first one you have is connect and confess. Oof, that already is like, oh man. Okay, so for you, I want to ask you, what was the initial moment of confession like for you to actually acknowledge this is an habitual sin that you have?
Yeah, so I mean, I'll give you all a little spoiler alert. If you pre-order the book, you can go to my website, you'll get to read the first two chapters for free anyway. So my sin, surprise, that I struggled with growing up, I was exposed to pornography at a very young age. I was exposed to it multiple times, walked in on it, was shown it, yada, yada, yada. And it really had a grip on my life and took over my life, honestly. It was something I truly could not control. And especially as a child, it's like, you don't understand the weight, at least I didn't in the household I grew up in, the weight of sin, the weight of habits, the weight of addiction, the weight of all those things, right? Of really getting lost in something and getting so far into it that you're like, I'm so stuck, I can't crawl out of this pit because I'm so far down. And so that's kind of where I was at, and I was stuck in it for a long, 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 long time. And I didn't feel like I could tell anybody about it. I didn't feel like I could talk about it because even when I got saved when I was 14 years old, it was like marketed as the boy's sin. So the fact that me, a girl who loved Jesus but was still wrestling with this like fleshy nature of continuously, feeding into this lustful desire that I had and watching porn and everything that went with it, I felt so disgusting. I'm like, not only is it that, but it's a boy sin. Like, what's wrong with me? I felt completely alone. I felt just completely wrapped up in shame, and I didn't know what to do or who to go to with it. Like, am I gonna go to my male pastor? Absolutely not. As a 14-year-old girl, it's so embarrassing. So I felt completely alone. But when I got to college, my first year, my freshman year at DBU, shout out Dallas Baptist University, I joined a Christian sorority, and we did this night called Stand for Your Sister. And long story short, it was basically a survey, and we filled it out anonymously, and it was like true or false questions. And one of the true or false questions was, I struggle with pornography. There were other questions on there like I struggle with drinking, I have a drinking problem, I hook up with guys on the weekends to numb the pain, or I'm doubting my faith right now. Like, very real, raw, vulnerable questions, but there was anonymity to it, or you could be anonymous with it. So it provided that space to be vulnerable. And when I saw that question, or that true or false prompt of I struggle with pornography, I circled true. And I thought, certainly I'm the only person in this room that's going to be circling this. And so once I filled out my questionnaire, we all crumpled it up in like a little snowball, and we just threw them across the room. So we picked up a random girl's answer sheet. We didn't know whose was whose. And one by one, we went through everything that was on that list, and we stood for our sister if they circled true for whatever the prompt was. And finally, when it got to that prompt of I struggle with pornography, I was waiting. I'm not joking. I was waiting for one person, literally just one girl, to stand up. And again, there was just so much shame and humiliation and self-hatred and disgust that came with this thing that I just couldn't shake off. And to my surprise, like, more than half of the room stood up. And I couldn't believe it. I couldn't believe that I was not the only one who had struggled or was struggling with this specific sin in my life. And what was amazing is eventually one of the girls, I forget at what point in time, but at that little gathering that we had, she stood up and she talked about how she overcame her porn addiction. And her being vulnerable and like leading first with her story showed me, well, if she can be free, maybe I can be free from this thing. And they encouraged us, hey, like, if you circle true for any of these things and you feel called to talk to somebody about it, please do. Like, be vulnerable, confess your sin to one another. Like, it says in scripture that when we confess our sins to one another, like, the prayers of a righteous person will bring healing for you. So I didn't do it that night, but a few days later, I eventually met up with her, and it was just like waterfall of tears. Like, opening up the closets and letting all the skeletons fall out, just like all airing all my dirty laundry that nobody had ever known that I kept secret and hidden for so long. And that was the first time in my life that I talked about it, and where I expected to be met with, shame and ridicule and humiliation and all these things, condemnation even. She met me with the compassion of Jesus and so much grace, so much understanding. She didn't, promote my sin and say, stay in your sin. She lovingly called me out of it and encouraged me through her own journey of how she was able to get free, and even just what that journey and process looked like for her. And so I write that chapter, and I make that a part of the battle plan of confessing everything that's been kept in and confessing amongst community, because truly, as much as we need to bring these things to the Lord and confess and repent from them and acknowledge that we have sinned against a holy God, when we bring things that are in the darkness that are festering and molding into the light, and we can bring it amongst a community that we know, that knows us, that loves us, that truly embodies who Christ is, like, will call us out and call us higher, but will also lift us up out of the pits that we're stuck in because they love us. I mean, like, that is so powerful and so essential to our journey, because the enemy wants to keep us in shame. He wants to keep us in isolation. He doesn't want us being vulnerable, because it's in vulnerability, like that moment of vulnerability for me and sharing that with her kickstarted, like truly from 0 to 100 real quick, kickstarted me being able to have freedom in my life and not feel like I was just stuck in bondage and shame. Somebody knew, and they could walk with me and talk with me and figure these things out with me as I was even growing in my personal faith. So I encourage anybody, like, whatever sin you are stuck in, find at least one person, pray about it. Find at least one person that you can begin confessing these things to, and not just confess it, but truly acknowledge it, and recognize what it's done to your life, and where Christ needs to come in and start healing your heart, because you're not meant to do it alone and do it in isolation and allow it to fester and mold where it's at. No, we need to bring it into the light so God can begin to heal and sculpt and mold you into the person that He's called and created you to be. And you're called and created to be a person who lives a life of freedom.
Absolutely. And like light shines so sh powerfully through that darkness. And just like you said, like the enemy would love to just keep you isolated, because if no one knows, then no one can help you. And if you're not vulnerable, and yes, that moment of vulnerability, oh my gosh, like it can feel like your whole body like goes into shock almost. But that's like the moment where, like, just like you say, like that's your healing moment. That's where things begin. Like that's the first moment of a long, well, it doesn't have to be long. Everybody's journey is different, but that's the first moment to a process of freedom. And just like you, my story is very, very similar, very, very similar. And I've shared my testimony on the podcast previously, but same thing, addiction to pornography for many years, exposed at a young age. And with that, I got saved when I was 16. So I was like, oh, okay, like we're just gonna act like it's not a thing. And it was still a thing. So it's like, what do I do? Am I really saved? What does this mean for me? And just like you said, I'm not gonna tell anybody. So I literally vowed to myself that I was gonna take it to the grave. I 100% vowed to myself. I was like, yeah, no one's ever gonna know this. And it was my sophomore year of college at HBU, dogs up. And well, it's HCU now, but that's neither here nor there. And so I was in a worship team at that point, joined literally just to be on the worship team, not to confess my deepest, darkest secrets. I joined to sing for the Lord. And then they're like, hey, we're gonna meet outside of the worship team meetings and we're gonna do some small groups. I had never been in small group, never been in community like that. So I didn't know what we were gonna do, what that was about. And the first night, they're like, let's share our testimonies. So I shared everything else but that, because mind you, I have a vow to myself. I'm pretty sure I said something like super vague to like let people know that like I got skeletons in my closet, but like I'm not gonna tell y'all. And my who now she's my best friend, she was my mentor for a while. But at the time she was just like a friend. She was like, can I ask you a question? And I was like, yeah, like I'm just thinking I don't know, not that she's gonna expose me. And she straight up asked me, she was like, you struggle with porn? And I was like my jaw.
I would have been like, please, God, take me now.
No,
Take me
literally, I
now.
wanted to just fall into the floor. I was like, no, she didn't. Like, I didn't know what to say. It was just four of us in the room, and we were just like in the dorm. I didn't know what to say. I sat there in silence for, I'm pretty sure, like a solid 30 seconds. And then I was like, yeah. And I mean, my whole body was shaking. I was like so scared. I don't know what I expected her to say. But just like you said, when you met with that woman, like she met me with so much grace. It was the exact same thing. Like her next response was like, I know and I get it. And then her next thing was like, because I've also struggled with this. And I was like, wait, what? Like, I'm not a crazy person. I'm not the only one in the whole world. And then turns out there was four of us in the room. Three out of four of us either had struggled or were currently struggling. And I was literally mind blown. And that day, I don't remember the date specifically, but that moment was my kickstart to my healing journey. And I got to walk through the process of healing and digging down deep and what are the roots and all of the things that I had no idea I even had. Like, I thought it was just like this little sin problem over here on the side. I didn't realize how much it had taken over my life. I didn't realize how much my mindset was affected by it, how my thoughts, my words, my actions, and how it just really embedded itself in my life. And so, absolutely, community is like one of the key things with healing. And that goes for whatever the sin is, right? Like, regardless of what it is, community is so important because you need people who get it. You need people who can, just like with the layman in the scripture, that you can have friends that will lead you to the feet of Jesus over and over and over again and walk you through that. And it's messy, right? Like, I'm not gonna act like it's like, oh my gosh, like, yeah, after that moment, it was just great. Like, we had to dig deep. Like, it was like scraping out a wound. Like, we had to really like clean things up and like really dig to the root of it. But it's so necessary in order to experience that freedom. So I love that you shared just the moment of like, hey, this is what I got, this is who I am, this is where I'm at. And that lady helped to walk you into freedom. I think that's amazing.
Shout out to Sarai. That's her
Yes,
name.
my girl is
She's
Jacora.
awesome.
Shout out to my girl Jacora. I
Let's
literally like
go.
those are people. It's like I can't tell my story of freedom without mentioning her, right? Like I literally can't even share that experience. And so God does all things well. And so I pray that, hey, like if people are listening, that maybe this will be your moment. Right? Like maybe you have been just carrying it inside. And I know I get messages and stuff from y'all, and I'm sure Kirby does as well. But maybe you've just never admitted it to anyone. And maybe this is the podcast. This is the moment where God's gonna just be like, hey, sis, like it's time to address this. And this can be your journey into freedom. So that's our prayer for you.
I
So, Kirby,
love.
one of the next points in your book and that you wanted to discuss was about knowing your God. So regarding just knowing God, what are some characteristics that are important to know about God or to learn about him as you're getting free from habitual sin?
Yeah, I think it's really important that as we assess the areas where we are struggling with habitual sin, that we really take a step back and understand who God actually is, not just, who your pastor or your parents or your community has communicated him to be. Maybe they completely communicated him accurately. If they did, amazing. But maybe they didn't. And so we need to do the work in our relationship with God of actually getting to know God, knowing who He is. And we know who He is by getting into His Word. And I can't stress that enough that reading the Bible isn't just, something to check off your list that makes you a better Christian or makes God love you more. No, it helps you to love Him more and know Him more and know yourself more too and know the enemy more. Like it's all in there, literally. Read your Bible. But we need to know who our God is because there are so many misconceptions that we might have about him or even lies that we believe about him, whether it's been fed to us by the enemy or, demonic influences or media or the people around us. And some of the lies that I believed about him, I mean, I have a whole chapter on it, but even just a few was that, well, God's not going to forgive me for this specific sin. He's forgiven me for everything else, but I have to clean up my act and get everything right before he forgives me for this specific sin. When the truth is that God is faithful and just to forgive us of all of our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Like, that's one of the characteristics of God that I love, that we all need to remember, is that he is faithful and he is just. And when I think about God being just, you know, maybe that's not like the most fun thing to think about God. It's like, yeah, God is love. God is compassionate. God is kind. God is understanding. Like, he's all these things and more. And those are also key attributes we need to know, like truly deeply know and believe and trust in our own lives, in our hearts. But his justice is also something that we need to understand. And you might be looking at God and thinking he is a just God and he's literally going to smite me for the sin that I'm in because I've told him, I've pinky promised him and vowed to him many, many, many times that I would not do this sin ever again. And it's only been 12 hours and I've done it again. And it's like, well, God is just, like, I should not be saved because of this and X, Y, and Z, because sin separates us from God. But he's just in the sense that he sent his son, Jesus. Like, God himself came down in the form of a man, lived a perfect life, fulfilled all of the expectations of the law. Like, he was perfect. We are not. And because of that, he was able to die on the cross and take on our sins and exchange to us his righteousness, his perfection, his right standing with God. He paid the penalty of our sins. But not only that, he didn't just die and stay in the grave. No, he literally rose 3 days later because he's God, because he's powerful, because he has dominion over all things. Like, he is God. Like, he can free us and resurrect anything that has been put in the grave. Like, we could go on and on about that. But I bring this up, his justice, because we need to remember that our sin has been paid in full. Like, God is just in the sense that Jesus died for our sins and now we get to live in righteousness because we believe in him and we submit and commit our lives to Jesus, to following him, to loving him, to living out the commands that he calls for our life. Do we always get it right? No, because we're human and he gets that and he understands that because he made us. But at the same time, it's like we, in his justice, we can see so much kindness, so much love, so much compassion, all those attributes I mentioned earlier that are so important. I know that when I was in the thick of my sin, and even today, because I'm not perfect, I still sin in other ways. Like, I face temptation daily. Like, I'm a person, I'm a human being who's imperfect, even though, you know, I'm perfect in the eyes of God in the sense that I get to be in relationship with him because of what Jesus did. Like, he gets it. He understands where I'm at and who I am and everything I've done and still forgives me in spite of it. And I just, we can't forget that. We can't forget that. It's so easy to look at our sin and to just believe the worst about ourselves and then project that on God and believe that he wouldn't forgive me. Well, I've gone too far. I've done too many things. I've done this again and again and again. And it's like, friend, you need to step back and truly. And that's why in the subtitle, I talk about the power and promises of the gospel. You need to understand the power and the promises of the gospel, that he truly loves you, that he fully forgives you, that in him, you have all access to freedom. And that is a process. Like we mentioned earlier, it's a journey that we have to go on with him. But nonetheless, we can't forget the truth about God. The enemy is really going to try and cloud your vision to isolate yourself from community and isolate yourself from the one who's going to bring you the freedom, Jesus himself. We can approach the throne of grace boldly and receive his help, his redemption. Like, it's all on him. He's going to help do all the work in us. We just need to literally show up and say, I need your help, Dad. I can't do it alone. And he's not going to scold you and he's not going to ground you. Maybe there is some discipline there because real life has real consequences sometimes. But nonetheless, he's in the process of, like, he is the CEO of, I should say, of reconciliation, of redemption. And he's going to help you with that. Like, see God for who he truly is. And that's going to help you escape the sin you're stuck in and the shame that you have surrounding it.
That part, all of that, literally everything. Yes, 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 yes. Because I love that you said, like, it's all on him. Because so many times we get in this like self-help cycle where we feel like, well, I need to fix it and I need to do this. And it's like, if you could fix it, you would have fixed it by now.
Literally.
Like, not even to like diss you, sis, but literally, like, if you could have fixed it, you would have done it by now. This is the moment when we realize I need a savior. Like, I need
Yes.
a savior. And that's where God steps in when we come to that realization. And the story that I thought of while you were speaking about just that process of trying to fix ourselves, it reminded me of the prodigal son. Luke
Yeah.
15, like literally my favorite story in scripture. And right, the prodigal son, like he goes out, he's wilding out, he's doing all this nonsense as we look like in our sin, right? And he's like lowest of lows, and he's like, okay, I got a plan. I'm gonna come back home. But he like was trying to like, you know, try to have all his ducks in a row. And it's like, I'm gonna tell him this and I'm gonna tell him that. You don't even have to call me a son. I'm just gonna work for you. Like he thought like he had this plan all figured out. And to his surprise, his dad is literally waiting for him, waiting for him. Like, oh my gosh, I love that story so much. And he comes and meets him with so much grace that he was not expecting. The Bible says he ran to him with compassion. He embraced him with compassion. And so it's letting us know this is a replica of what it will be like. This is a parallel of what it is to come back to the Father's house. And I know that sometimes we can just really believe the lie of the enemy. And that's why we need to understand the power and promises of the gospel. We don't know the power and promises of the gospel if we're not reading our Bible. Like, that's what it comes down to. And I love teaching the Bible. I love equipping other women in the knowledge of scripture because that's our power. Like, we are literally powerless without the word. And even if you look at like the armor of God, right? Like, we need all the pieces of it, but the word is part of it. Like, we have to have his word. That is our defense. That's our ammo. That's what we show up with when the enemy wants to give us lies and put all these thoughts in our head that aren't true, that don't line up with the word of God. If you know his word, you can say, nope, actually, that's not true. I'm not condemned because the Bible says that I have not come to condemn. I came to give life and that more abundantly. Came to save you. Like, you gotta have something to fight back with. But this is why all the pieces of healing are so important, right? Because when you're in community, the other people, even if you're feeling powerless, even if you're feeling weak, even if you're like, I don't have anything to show up with to the battle, that's when you get, like in scripture, you get Aaron and Hur like Moses did. So when his arms were tired, they held his arms up so that he could continue to win the battle, right? And so the same thing with community. Every time that you're just in a rough spot or you're in a healing process and it's like, girl, like, I don't know what's going on, that's when you can have your sisters come along and quote the word of God over you and speak the promises of God over your life so that you can say, okay, this is truth, this is lie. You can really, you know, filter out what's going on. And knowing God is such a game changer. Knowing God in general, regardless of like if you're in a habitual sin or not, just knowing God is like literally the best thing ever. But with that, knowing God and also knowing his promises, knowing that we are co-heirs of Christ, that we are more than conquerors through Christ Jesus, knowing that we are the head and not the tail, above only and not beneath, knowing our scripture, girl, you can mollywop the devil and just give him a little 1-2 action
I'm
real
done.
quick. Like, I think like so many times, like if we literally just stand up to the word of God, and I know I'm saying this and I'm human, just like you say, like, and I'm probably like, oh my
Easier
gosh, I
said than
should have.
done, right?
Yeah, I'm like, oh, I should have quoted scripture instead of like worrying about that. Anyways, don't judge me, okay? But it's just the reality of like, hey, when we know what the word says, it's like, I'm not doing this with you, devil. Like, I'm not. But we gotta know what we're fighting with. We have to know where we're going in this process, in this journey, and who we are and who our God is. So I love that, knowing about God and just knowing, like you said, that he is just. And man, I remember for me, I struggled with that too because I knew God. I grew up in church, so I knew a lot of his characteristics. I was learning to learn more about him in an intimate way, but I knew about him as a whole. And I knew the power that he could have, especially when it came to sin. And I remember it was my junior year of college. I'm leading Bible studies at this point, right? Like, people are coming to me with questions and I'm still struggling with my own stuff. And I felt like just such the biggest hypocrite ever. I felt like God doesn't want anything else to do with me. And I remember, like, I was so done with it myself. And I remember I lay literally flat on my face in my apartment dorm and I told God, like, God, if you still want anything to do with me, I'm here. But it was coming from a place of like, I don't even know if you want it. Like, I don't even know if you want anything to do with me, because that's just like, one, I was believing the lies of the enemy. Two, I was just so like done with this cycle of over and over again and knowing what to do and not doing it and all of that. And I got to the point, like, I was scared. Like, I literally was like, I feel like God's gonna give up on me. But knowing, like you said, I love how you just explained about him being just, but also because he is just, he also already sent our justification
Yeah,
to
he's
make us in right
merciful.
standing with God. And yes, just as he is just, he's also merciful. His mercies are new every morning. And I thank God for that.
Yes.
Girl, struggle is real. But I love that you shared that about getting to know God. And so we talked about the prodigal son, right? That's something that kind of came up. One of the points in your book is actually about turning around and coming home. So for somebody that's listening to this, right? They're hearing your story, they're hearing some of mine. They're being encouraged and they know that they're needing to come back home, but they're scared to just turn around and come back home. What is a piece of encouragement that you would give them?
Yeah, I think something that I would say to that person is God is not expecting you to get up to shake off the dust on, like off of yourself, to clean yourself off and make your way all the way back to the starting line to assume the position, to start running full sprint again to then meet him where he's at. Like God is calling you to literally just look up at him because he's right there. He's already there. I think of Peter and Jesus when they were walking on water, right? And it's like Peter took his eyes off Jesus and he starts sinking. But Jesus is right there, like readily there to lift him up. And he's like, "You took your eyes off me. You took your eyes off me, man. Like, what's going on here, right?" And I think we just need to be reminded that God is not expecting us to have everything all together and to go, start from the very beginning in square one of Christianity to earn the spot that we're at. Like, I don't know whoever's listening to this. Maybe you're a leader. Like, I mean, you were leading a Bible study. Maybe you're a leader in your community, in your church. Maybe you have a following online that's geared towards ministry or whatever. Like, to the baby Christian and to the seasoned Christian alike, maybe there is a step back that needs to happen and healing needs to happen. But God is not going to just be like, all right, you have to work your way all the way back to where I've called you. He's so compassionate. He's so graceful. He's so merciful. Like, we keep saying these things because we need to remember these things because these things are true about him. That literally, he is right there. He is right there. And you just need to look up at him and he will heal you. He will cleanse you of all unrighteousness, right? He will forgive you because he is compassionate and he is just in doing so when we confess our sins and when we want to do life with him. And the beauty is that when you call out to him and cry out to him and you want to receive forgiveness and truly repent and change from your ways, he's not just one gonna make you do all these things to earn your place in the kingdom, but two, he's not gonna send you out there and be like, all right, now get it right this time. No, he's literally running the race with you. I've never run a marathon in my life, and I don't plan on it because I have really bad knees. But if I did, I know that for me personally, I would have to do it with somebody else who actually has ran a marathon before so that they can help me pace. Because I'm the type of person that will go at like a full sprint, but you need endurance for a marathon. You need endurance for the long run, right? And Jesus is like running, jogging, trotting beside us, like helping us to know the pace that we need to be running. He is going to be the one that will sustain you as you pursue him and pursue righteousness and deny the flesh and, flee from sexual immorality and not give in to temptation, but recall and rely on Jesus himself and the truth of scripture. Because again, this is not in and of yourself. Like, yes, I know that we have a certain amount of willpower that we're able to exert throughout the day. But at the end of the day, when all is said and done and you're exhausted and that temptation comes, you have to rely on Jesus. He, him and his truth, that's what's going to sustain you. So know that one, you're not alone in the sense of there's millions of Christians out there, like hundreds of us out there who probably are struggling with the same exact thing as you, who have either received freedom or are going through our freedom journey currently. But two, you're not alone in the sense that Jesus is running at a pace of grace beside you, helping you know where to step, when to step, when you need to take a little water break, like when it's time to just really full send it at that moment. Like he is the one that's leading us on this journey. So you can rest in the fact that your God, yes, he saved you, but he's also in it for that whole journey until you meet up with him in heaven face to face. You know what I mean? Like he is not going to abandon you. He's in it for the long haul, like literally eternity. So don't sweat, don't stress, look up at him and abandon that shame, because truly he is calling you into relationship with him and he's not expecting perfection. He just wants proximity with you.
That's so good. He just wants proximity, not perfection. And I feel like the quicker we get that, the quicker we can make that decision to turn back to him. If we go back to the story of the prodigal son, it says that his father went and ran to meet him. He didn't wait until he got all the way to the porch and was like, "Where have you been? And I told you so." And I knew you would blew the money. Like, that's what we would expect. That's actually what the prodigal son expected, that his dad was going to meet him with rules and regulations and with shame. But it was the exact opposite. And that's exactly what the Lord does. I know he's done it so many times for me. Like I mentioned with my story, when I felt like God doesn't want anything else to do with me, and he just met me with so much grace in that moment and let me know that, yes, like he does not agree with the sin. Yes, he wants me to be free, but I'm also still his daughter. And that was a really cool thing for me to really experience, because where I was like, man, God doesn't, you don't even have to call me your daughter anymore. That's basically what I was saying when I said, if you still want anything to do with me. And he's like, I want everything to do with you. I literally died to have a relationship with you. Like, if that doesn't show you that I want everything to do with you, like nothing will, right? And so I hope that others are encouraged with that too. And I really like the point that you made about maybe they're a leader listening to this, because when we're leading others, I feel like yes, we are held to a higher standard. The Bible talks about that. But also sometimes we put unrealistic expectations on ourselves because we're the leader and we should know better and we should have it figured out. And so because of that, instead of going to God, we just like shove shame further and further, like onto ourselves, and the weight and the burden just gets heavier and heavier. And so for anybody that's listening, I do want to encourage you, just like Kirby said, like you don't have to, be, completely clean in order to come to him. You don't have to try to figure this out and then approach him, but it's actually the opposite. You just say, Lord, I'm here. Lord, I surrender. Lord, I need help. He is so faithful to meet us with that and walk us, like she said, walk us through the journey. He doesn't just like, well, this is what you need to do. Check in with me once you've finished it. But no, he's like, man, take my hand. Like, sis, I got you. I'm with you. My daughter, like, let me lead you into the promises that I have for you. And day by day, as we get to know him, that we'll find him more and more, and we'll learn more and more of who he is. And I would say that don't, even when you're coming to him, like, yes, surrender your sin, but focus more on getting to know him. I feel like so many times we're like, okay, now, like, what exactly do I need to do for this sin? And yes, there is a thing. You're wanting to bring that to him. You're wanting to cast your cares upon him. Yes, for sure. But focus on getting to know him, because when you know him, like, everything else gets fixed. Everything else gets changed. You get to know that he's love, and you love yourself and you love others better. You get to know the joy that he brings and just who he is. And now you have joy. Now you're being healed. So focus on getting to know him. And as the word says, like, you seek him and you'll find him.
I even want to just add something as we were talking about the prodigal son, is that, there were two sons, right? But this specific son that was the prodigal grew up in the house with this father, and he goes and he squanders and he's like, oh my gosh, my dad's gonna kill me and this, this, and this. I'm like, he did not even have a correct view of his father to begin with. Like, did you even know your father when you were living in the house with him? And I think there are so many Christians who might be out there today who grew up in church, who are listening, who grew up in church, who grew up in a Christian home. And it's like, you didn't really know God. You didn't really experience who he was. Like, whether it was because of your own clouded vision or just your own perception and or culture or whatever it is. But in that moment, he actually experienced who his father was. Like, I think that we need to be, and this goes to kind of the first thing that we talked about. You really need to know who God is. You really need to take the time to get to know your father and to spend some time just being his kid. And I've been saying this on different podcasts and even on my own, but like God is not looking for a poster child. He just wants you to be his child. Like, he's not expecting you to be perfect. He's the one that's going to be perfecting you as you're walking with him. And it's not going to be some strenuous process where all this pressure is on you and you have to get everything right all the time. He's the one that's going to do the equipping. And if anything, the character that he's going to build within you and grow within you, it's going to become natural. It's going to become easy for you to be able to deny the things that once thought served you, but you were actually a slave too. So just be encouraged that maybe you haven't been seeing God correctly, but now's the time for you to actually get to know who God truly is, experience his love and his grace and his truth. And through that, really start to see freedom in your life because it's not just in your own efforts. Yeah, there's work that we need to do. And talk about that in the book. I give plenty of tools and advice and ways that we can equip ourselves and do the things that we need to do because we're the ones responsible for our decisions, right? But we have to know the Lord and the Father's love and rely on his strength and power if we are going to do anything right in our life. Like, we were made for a relationship with him, and you have to know him in order for that to grow.
Yeah, no, 100%. I love the point that you said. Like, do you even know your the father? Like, I guess I never thought about that regarding that story in scripture. Because if he had known who his father really was, then he would have already known, no, he's going to receive me with grace. Like, yeah, I have some shame on my part, but like I know that he's not gonna meet me with more shame and condemn me. And so just like you said, like you get to know him, just spending time, and it's like it's so simple. Just get to read your word. There's so many resources. I have resources on my website. Kirby has resources. Kirby teaches the Bible as well. And so like just getting to know what the word says, because that's how we found out more about who he is. It's just by reading his word, praying, spending time with him. Be intentional about just making time just for him and just let God show up. And I promise you will experience such a freedom that you never thought that you would simply from just being in his presence. His presence alone, like the word says, where the spirit of the Lord is, there is liberty. So just with the Spirit alone, you're already experiencing that freedom. And the one last point I want to make, and then I want you to share about how people can find your book and all that. The one last point that I want to make, somebody I think preached this in a sermon years ago. It was a game changer for me that once the, you know, once you're in your in this place of freedom, temptation does not equal sin. Like just because you're tempted by something doesn't mean that you are sinning. And also just because you're tempted doesn't mean that you are not free from whatever thing is there. Like you're still in a fleshly body that still wants to run back to that sinful nature. And for me, I felt like I'm free. I shouldn't even think about this anymore. And some people have that story, right? Some where like the taste was just completely gone for drugs, for alcohol, whatever it was. And that was not my story. So I was
Same.
like, am I really free? So that's the last thing I want to tell people is that if, you know, as you're walking this journey with the Lord, like trust that you are free and whom the Son sets free is free indeed, period. Like there's nothing added to that sentence in scripture. So don't add or take away from that either. But truly believe that you are free. And although there may be things that will tempt you that operate from a place of freedom and know that you are free through Christ Jesus and you can experience the abundant life of freedom that he has for you. So
Preach.
I hope that y'all are blessed. I hope that y'all are encouraged. Kirby, tell them how they can find this book, where they can order all the things, all the links, all the things.
Other things. So Depending on when this episode is out, between now and January, or not January, whoops, June 11th, you can pre-order my book. Again, it's called You Can Be Free: Overcoming Temptation and Habitual Sin by the Power and Promises of the Gospel. You can go to my website, which is Kirby, Kirby dash Kelly, Kelly dot com. And there'll be a tab there that you can click on that has all the information about my book where you can pre-order it. You can also just go to Amazon or Barnes and Nobles. You can do that. But if you do it through my website, you can also enter in the information from where you pre-ordered it and get all the pre-order freebies. So you can get access to the foreword and the first two chapters, a bonus chapter that was cut because there was literally too many words and they were like, we have to condense this thing down. But I was like, I want people to still read this chapter. So we put it in a free order, a pre-order bonus for free, as well as a 5-day devotional and a battle plan worksheet. So you can really begin applying practical things and stepping back and seeing your sin for what it is and being able to like really get tactical because the enemy is scheming. So we might as well just like start figuring out what we need to do on our end with the Lord, right? So you can pre-order and do that. There's also a freedom webinar that's going to be happening in June that you can sign up for. That is also free. But again, this is only available during the pre-order stage. So when you pre-order the book, you have access to all these things. After that is done. But depending when you're listening to this, if it's past June 11th, the book is already out. You can get it. And if you want to follow me anywhere, my socials are Kirby is a Boss on YouTube, Instagram, TikTok. And my podcast is called Bought and Beloved. And new episodes come out on Tuesdays and Wednesdays. So you can check that out as well if you want to.
All right, y'all make sure y'all get all the pre-order freebies. Like it's
Yes.
literally lined up for y'all to do all the things and get free. Like, why are we gonna wait? Why are we gonna put this off? If this episode bless you, I want you to make sure that you order this book. Also, once you're pre-ordering, make sure that y'all are leaving reviews on the book. Let
Yes,
others
thank you.
we need some reviews, okay, people? That's how other people know. Man, I want to check this book out too. And if y'all have the same heart that we have, we want to see as many women as possible set free. So let's,
Yes.
pass it forward and let's say, hey, this blessed me. Maybe you want to buy a copy for somebody else that's in your Bible study group, in your community, in your family, well, whoever it is, somebody that needs to get free, do it kindly, do it gently, but buy them this book and slide it along to them. Y'all make sure y'all follow Kirby on all the things, all the links on all the platforms. Check out the podcast as well. If you're really looking for some biblically sound teaching, that's where you want to be. So make sure y'all check this out. Get your copy of You Can Be Free today. Don't wait any longer. And we thank y'all so much for tuning into this episode. Kirby, thanks so much for being here. This was amazing.
Girl, anytime, anytime.
It was so good, and I'm glad to just hear your story. Thank you for being obedient to the Lord of writing this book and being obedient and sharing your journey and being vulnerable. Vulnerable can be kind of crazy, but we love that you are leading other women because of your journey. And thank y'all so much for tuning into this episode. As far as Christian Girls Pop goes, you can follow us on Facebook and Instagram and on YouTube. The username is Christian Girls Pop. Check out our website, ChristianGirlsPop.com. And a last thing I wanted to announce is that you may have already heard by now, but I'm hosting the Selah Retreat in Freedom. That's the next retreat theme, is all about freedom. So it goes so perfectly with Kirby's book. And I have a heart of seeing people free. God wants to see his daughters free. So join us in Centerville, Texas from May 31st through June 2nd. At Hope Hill Ranch. I would love to have you there. Tickets are available on the website. All the links for all the things that we just said are available in the show notes below. So check it out. And thank you all so much for tuning in. As always, remember, Jesus already loves you so much. Don't you ever forget that.